Have your Bibles. Amen. Amen. Love the Bible. Amen. Luke chapter 15, if you're there, say amen. Amen. And many of you and I, if you've been in church any length of time, you're familiar with this passage of Scripture that we're going to be reading, that we're going to preach from here this morning. And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is teaching in parables, and He's telling stories, and He's taking earthly stories and equating them with heavenly truths. Amen. In this chapter, what we find is a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. Amen. And with the help of the Lord this morning, I'd like to preach on that prodigal son. I'd like to look into this chapter at how you and I can see that prodigal son in each of our lives. And I mentioned in Sunday school before, all night, Thursday night, and all morning, Friday morning, and all night, Friday night, I was shouting my guts out at that camp meeting. So if I squeak, or if my voice cracks, or if I get to preaching and I just can't preach and it don't sound good, I'm telling you, you just amen it anyways. Amen. You can laugh if you want to, but I'm glad that God has given me an opportunity to preach this morning. Amen. And I hope and I pray that it wouldn't fall on deaf ears, but rather that we would receive what God has for us. And this is what God told me to preach. And the Bible says in Luke chapter number 15 and verse number 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he begins to speak in these parables, and he begins to tell of the lost coin, and he begins to tell of this lost sheep, and how the shepherd, having heard of 100 and having counted 99, he went after that one sheep. "I'm glad that he went after me, amen, when I was astray, when I was backslidden, when I was living like a devil. I'm glad that God still came looking for me, amen." You might be in here this morning, you say, "Preacher, God probably doesn't care about me the way He cares about you." My friend, you are wrong. The God that I serve is no respecter of persons. He cares about each and every single person in this sanctuary this morning just as much as the other. Amen?
Amen.
You're special in the sight of God. David said, "He thinketh on me." I'm sure that this morning, as you sought after God, as you came out to the house of God, God has thought about you this morning. Amen? And we'll continue down. We're going to go into verse number 11. This is Jesus speaking. "And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way afar off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on him and kissed, fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry." Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, we thank you for allowing us to be in your house. We thank you for the great mercy and the grace that it took to bring us here, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that this morning we sit ready for what you'd have for us. And God, I pray that you would just Help get me out of the way. Help me just to say the words that you once said, Father, and nothing other. Lord, cleanse my heart and mind from anything that might hinder me from being filled with your Spirit in this hour. God, I pray and I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would help me to preach with power and with love and with a sound mind. And we'll give you the thanks, the honor, and the glory for it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love this passage of Scripture. Many of you in here this morning that have read this passage of Scripture, and many of you in here this morning that have heard my testimony could see why I love this passage of Scripture the way I do. Amen? There was a time in my life when the grace and the mercy of God Almighty was the only thing that held me up. Amen? I was living a wicked lifestyle. I was backslidden on God. I was away from church. I was away from my family, and I just wanted to live for myself. I just wanted to keep other people happy. And let me tell you something. I was captain on the football team. I had all the friends. My phone blew up every single night. Somebody wanted me somewhere doing something. It seemed like if you'd have looked at it from the outside, I had the job, I had the money, I had the friends. You looked at me and you said, man, he's got everything he needs. And I had a smile on my face, but on the inside, I was empty. I was miserable. I felt as if there was no point in anything that I was doing. It didn't matter what I got. It didn't matter if I saw something and I wanted it and I got it. It didn't bring me the satisfaction that I thought I could have because I was running away from God. I was trying to push away. I was trying to use the things of the world to numb myself from the things of God and to push myself away from that conviction. And let me tell you something. If you're in here this morning and you're in that same place, I can tell you that there is mercy at the Father's house. Just as the prodigal son found in the eyes of his father, so can you find grace in the eyes of the Lord this morning. And as we look into this story and we see the prodigal son, I see myself and I see some things in his life that happened just the same way in my life. And I believe that if we're all honest in here this morning, and I believe everybody's made out of the same stuff I am, that we could see ourselves in this passage of Scripture, that you could see yourself in this passage of Scripture, that we could help to look into the Scripture and see how God would show us ourselves. Amen. And the first thing I'd like to point out of the Bible that I see from this passage of Scripture is the sons rebellious tendencies. The son's rebellious tendencies. Let's go to verse number 11. The Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living." When you read that passage of Scripture and we're trying to take into context and study the Word of God a little bit deeper and look at the words that God uses, it says that He divided unto them His living. You see, in that day and time, it was customary for a Jewish family, if the father were to die, the spoil or whatever he had or all his earthly possessions will be divided among his sons. And the Bible tells us from what Jesus, as he sets the table for this story, as this parable that he gives to us, we find that Jesus tells us this man has two sons, and this son, the younger of the sons, he comes to the father and he said, I want the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he is saying this to a father who is very much still alive. To you and I, what I see here is something wicked. I see something rebellious. I see something that was not only common for that day, but common for this day in which we live as well. We see a rebellious tendency in his son. He said, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. You know what he was saying to his father? He said, it's not about whether you live or die. He's saying, it's about what you owe me. He said, you owe something to me. And we live in a day and age, I'm telling you, it makes me sick. We live in a day and age in which people feel like they're entitled to everything. They feel like you're entitled to their things and they're entitled to your things, and they feel like you owe them something and they feel like they deserve something from the world. Amen. The Bible tells us that if a man won't work, he won't eat, and by the sweat of his brow, the fruit will be brought forth. And I'm here to tell you in here this morning that your flesh, the rebellious tendencies that you and I have, and yes, I said that right, everybody in here has rebellious tendencies. We're born, David said, I am shapen in iniquity. We are born with that sinful nature. That nature is to oppose the things of God and to exalt ourselves rather. When the Bible tells us, we mentioned it in Sunday school this morning, he must increase, but I must decrease. Amen. Less me and more he. Amen.
Amen.
We see the rebellious tendency of this son. He told his father, he said, I know you're still alive, but he said, you just give me the things you owe me. And the father, he gave the young man his wish, and he divided among them his living. This young man, he had this entitlement complex. He felt like it was all about him. He felt like he was owed something. Amen. The only thing that you and I deserve in here this morning is a place in hell.
Amen.
Because we're rebellious, we are unholy, and I'm talking about everybody in here. It don't matter if you teach Sunday school, it don't matter if you sing gospel music, it don't matter. If you've never, is your first time in church, I'm here to tell you this morning, we are all rotten at the core. There ain't not one of us better than the other. All of us are sinners deserving of a place called hell and being separated from God for our sin. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Each and every single person in here, at some time or another, that sin nature has reared its ugly head and manifested itself in our lives, and we become rebellious towards God. I'd even venture to say, if we're all being honest in here this morning, it happens on a daily basis.
Amen.
We do things that are displeasing to God. We do things that are commanded of God not for us to do, and He shows us mercy, and He gives us grace, okay? But He's a holy, righteous God. He's a just God, and He's not going to force you to love Him. He's not going to force you into salvation. He's not going to force you into heaven. But I want you to know in here this morning that the only thing that you and I deserve is hell. And we see this son in verse number 12. We can tell this guy, if I could use a modern terminology, this kid was a punk. Amen? Somebody say amen right there. This kid was a punk. He had rebellious tendencies. And these rebellious tendencies, this sin that had welled up in him, it came to fruition. In verse number 13, the Bible says this, and not many days after, the younger son gathered together and took his journey into a far country. Not only do we see the son's rebellious tendencies, but we see the son's road traveled. Amen? Many a times, I was talking about in Sunday school, people say all roads lead to the same place. Ultimately, all ways lead to God, and that's not true. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ and through the blood of the cross. Amen. But might I say this? Every route of sin, no matter what avenue it is that you take, whether it's the lust of the eyes or the lust of the flesh or pride of life, or whether it's some particular sin in here this morning that has you in a vice, each and every single road of sin that you choose will ultimately lead to one place, and that is separation from God. Or if you're in here and you're saved and you're overcome by sin, it's going to lead you away from the fellowship with the Spirit of God, okay? But we see this young man, not only did he have rebellious tendencies, he had a road that was traveled. And we look specifically in the Word of God. Not one word is in that Bible out of place or by mistake. And it says in the 13th verse, and not many days after.
Amen.
Not many days after. My friend, I can tell you from personal experience in here this morning, it will not take very long at all for sin to influence you to make a bad decision.
Amen.
It said not many days after. Sometimes it can be in a split second, just like that. Something comes before your eyes and you're tempted to sin, and just like a fish to the bait, you take it. Hook, line, and sinker all the way. This young man, he's following after his flesh. He's following after rebellious tendencies. He slips up into sin, and it says, and not many days after. It won't take very long at all for that sin to hook you. Amen.
Amen.
He took his journey into a far country. Amen. And if you ask me, just from what I believe the context of the Bible teaches and what the Lord Jesus is teaching in these scriptures, I believe this is a Jewish family he's talking about. And this young man, he knows better. He grew up learning in the temple. He grew up learning from his father. He grew up learning that there are some places that he's not supposed to go.
Amen.
There's some places he's not supposed to go. There's some people that he's not supposed to assimilate himself with. And I understand that we're supposed to reach sinners. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
But there are places in our lives as Christians that we ought not be going to. Amen. I do not believe in barstool evangelism. Amen. I believe in knocking on doors and running buses and getting people out to church where they can come and sit down and hear the gospel preached. But I don't believe in going out into the bars and the places of the night. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light. There are some places that we can go to, and you can go there with the best of intentions. You can go there and you can go there and say, I'm going to lead somebody to the Lord. I'm going to get saved. But you're going to put yourself right in the middle of all that temptation.
Amen.
He took himself into a far country. Verse number 14 right here. And when he had spent all, everything he had, everything he was given. In verse number 13 it said he wasted it. He wasted his substance with riotous living. And I can tell you in here this morning, we talked about it in Sunday school. If you're in here and you've been born again, you've been saved by the grace of God, God has a purpose for saving you. God has given you a gift. God has allowed you to have something in your life that you can use to edify the church, that you can use to glorify God. And if you've got any substance about you at all, don't waste it on the world. There are many people, I think, you hear these country singers, and you'll hear sometimes they'll cut gospel albums, they'll sing hymns, and I'll think, man, that sure does sound good, but why in the world would they waste that talent on the world?
Amen.
To get CD and track number 4, they're singing, Oh, How I Love Jesus, and track number 10, it's honky-tonk angels, amen, and to them, it's just as spiritual, okay? Don't waste your substance on riotous living. That's what the Bible teaches us.
Amen.
And it says in verse number 14, when he had spent all, you go out into the world, you try to live for the flesh, you try to live for the world, it's going to leave you spent. My pastor, he always said it this way. He said, sin will always take you further than you want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay, and it will keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. Amen. Nobody's ever lived a life of wickedness and of sin and laid on their deathbed and said, you know what, I'm really happy with the way things turned out. Amen. You go and you look at the young man who comes out of the youth group and he starts going to the house parties and he starts drinking liquor and he starts drinking alcohol, and you find him as a 45-year-old man and he's standing in line at the rescue mission just so he can get some food in his belly, and later that night he'll be drinking cheap liquor and he'll be wallowing in his own vomit, and you'll say to him, was it worth it? Was it worth it to get out into that sin? Was it worth it? Have you spent all? Are you tired of it yet? See, sin, the devil's going to do his best. Young people, listen to me here tonight. The devil's going to do his best to take that sin and to take those worldly lifestyles, and he'll show you the front yard. A man, you walk by and that smell entices you and you see things, you think, man, that looks so fun. Man, that looks so pleasurable. Man, that looks like a blast. But he won't take you and let you see what's in the backyard. He won't let you see the end results. He won't see you in the doctor's office scared to death that you have some terrible terminal disease and you got needle tracks in your arms and you're thinking to yourself, none of my family wants anything to do with me. Nobody wants me anywhere. And I'm telling you here tonight that sin will destroy your life if you let it.
Amen.
This young man, it cost him everything. The road he traveled, he said, and when he had spent all, what does it say? Verse number 14. There arose a mighty famine in that land. A mighty famine in that land. He wasn't getting fed like he was anymore.
Amen.
And you know, the Bible tells us that there is pleasure in sin. That's what the Bible says. It says there is pleasure in sin for a season.
That's it.
For a season. And you might go out and you might get your belly full and you might be satisfied with the world for a short time, but it ain't going to last. There rose a mighty famine in that land. See, there he never had trouble getting fed when he was with the Father.
Amen.
He never had trouble getting fed when he was where he's supposed to be, okay? Don't expect to go out into the world and get fed the way that you get fed at the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, we talked about it Wednesday night. We had a good Wednesday night crowd, and it got me excited. It got me thrilled. And I talked about Pastor Lee Robertson and how he would always say, you need 3 to thrive. Amen. 3 to thrive. If you're anything like me and you're as wicked as I am, and I'm just being honest, I need the devil preached out of me 3 times a week at least. Amen.
Amen.
I need to come to church on Wednesday night. I need to come to church on Sunday morning. I need to come to church on Sunday night, because if not, I'm going to be weakened in my faith. And we can't expect ourselves to get fed out there in the world the way that we get fed from the things of God. Jesus, he told the devil on that mount of temptation, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God."
Amen.
Don't expect to get fed out in the world the way you get fed here. Amen.
Amen.
Don't expect to get charged up outside here the way that you get charged up in the house of God. He was empty. That sin, it will always leave you wanting more. It will always leave you feeling empty. And the Bible says he began to be in want. He had everything he thought he wanted. Everything. As he sat there at the Father's house, and he went to church and he did the things his dad told him he was supposed to, and his brother went to church, and he'd hear of friends going out into that far country, yoking up with those people that were ungodly and unholy. And he heard those stories, and he thought, "Man, that sounds so fun. I can't wait." He said, "One of these days I'm just going to tell Dad to cut me my part of the spoil, and I'm going to leave. I'm going to fly the coop." And he gets out there, and he says, "It's not all it was cracked up to be." My friend, the grass is not always greener on the other side. He began to be in want. There were things that he needed that he wasn't getting, okay?
That's it. Come on.
And in the beginning, it might seem like fun. And in the beginning, it might seem like it's all fun and games. But it'll leave you empty. It'll leave you in want. And you're always going to crave more. It'll always leave you craving more. Verse number 15, he joined himself to a citizen. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And if you study your Bibles and you know anything about the Jewish people, you know that God told them not to keep those animals. That's the way he did things. Don't ask me why. I can't explain why God does what he does. He's God, and I just agree with whatever he says. Amen. But for those people at that time when God was dealing with them, he kept them from certain things and told them to do things a certain way so that they could display their faith in him, okay? And he told them, he said, "Don't keep swine." He said, don't take anything with cloven feet. He said, and he gave them all these specifics and all these statutes. And to the Jewish person, that was the most degrading job. That was the lowest low that you could have reached. And here you have this boy who was well taken care of, who was in the will of God, who was doing what he was supposed to do, and now he found himself at the bottom of the barrel.
That's it.
He went into his fields to feed swine. And I imagine as he's there, and I'm not sure if he's in the hog pen, or I'm not sure if they've got some kind of quarters for him to live in or exactly what he's doing. But I imagine if he's anything like I was when I was backslidden on God, many a nights I would lay down and I would think to myself, "Is this really what I wanted? Is this really everything I thought it would be?" And I found myself at the bottom of the barrel thinking that there's no way I could get any lower than this. I want you to look at the desperation you find right there in your Bible. Look what it says. It says, "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into the fields to feed swine." Look at verse number 16. "And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat." And I'm going to try my best. I'm from the country, okay? I'm going to try not to get real graphic and gross everybody out, okay? But have you ever watched a hog eat an ear of corn? It's not something pretty. It's not something you watch for fun, okay? Is gross. And those husks, the hogs don't even want them. The husks roll off the edge of their jaw and all that slobber on them, and they'll fall and they'll land into that mud or that grime and that grit that's laying there under those hogs. And even that young man, that Jewish young man that had everything he needed at the Father's house, finds himself at such a point of desperation that he says, "Man, that looks good." Said, "Man, I sure could use that. I hope nobody's looking. I'm about to get me one of them." It said he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And look what else it says. "And no man gave unto him." no man gave unto him. And I understand you're supposed to trust in the Lord and not in man. I understand that. And I'm your pastor, but hey, I'm a man and I can let you down, okay? But the people of God are going to be there when you need them.
Amen.
Every time. Every time. He's out in the world and he's alone and he's forsaken and he's found himself in such a place of desperation and no one cares.
That's it.
No one cares. There were plenty of times, Brother Larry, when I was backslid on God, I got in trouble. And my friends, they were nowhere to be found. Amen. I was on my own. I was alone. And there have been plenty of times since I got in church that I felt that way. But the people of God are quick to let me know that they're there for me, that they love me, that they're always going to be there. Amen. I said it.
Amen.
I said it before. I'll say it again. This is not a museum for saints. This is a hospital for sinners, just like you and just like me.
Amen.
What kind of road is that to travel? Not only do we see the son's rebellious tendencies, we see his road travel, but we see the son's repentant tears. Amen. Verse number 17, and when he came to himself. You ever see the cartoons where the light bulb just goes ding above the person's head? I believe that's what happened right here in Luke chapter number 15. That light bulb, it went off above the son's head and he came to himself and he said, man, I have messed up. And the Bible, I want us to look at what the Bible says. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? He says, I'm here dying. I'm here, I'm forsaken, I'm dying, this is not what I wanted, this is not fun anymore, I'm done with it, I'm going to go back to my Father, and he's found himself to a place of repentance. You know what repentance is? It's not just saying, God, I'm sorry. It's saying, God, I'm sorry, and I'm going to change. It's a change of heart. It's when the Holy Ghost deals with you about something, and you make up your mind that you're going to change your direction towards God. Amen? We see this young man, he had repentant tears. He comes to God and he says, how many hired servants of my father's have bread? He said, even the servants, even the people working out in the field. He said, they're happy to serve because they know where they're supposed to be. And I'm here and I'm perishing with hunger. He realized things were better back home.
Amen.
He realized, they always say, you don't realize what you got till it's gone.
That's it.
Verse number 18. He makes up his mind. I can see him in front of the mirror. I can see him. As he gets ready to feed them hogs and he puts out that trough of water and he looks in his reflection and he practices. He says, I will arise and go to my father and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He makes up his mind. He says, I'm going to go back to the father. I'm going to get things right. I'm going to make
Amen.
This right. But that is not the part of the story where things begin to change for the prodigal son. We see his repentant tears, and hallelujah to God, we go into the 20th verse and we see his returning treasures. But I want us to understand something as we look to those treasures. Look at verse number 20. And he arose.
That's it.
And he arose and came to his father. So many times, and it breaks my heart,
Amen.
Christians will get sick of their sin. They'll get sick of the way that they're living. They'll get sick of the way that things are going. And they'll make up their mind in their heart. They'll say, I'm going to change things. I'm going to make things better. I'm going to do right for God. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to. But it never happens.
Right.
You know when it started to change for the prodigal son? You know when he had those returning treasures? You know when things got better for him? When he arose.
Amen.
When he said, I'm sick of this. He rehearsed it to himself and he said, I will. And he arose and went to his father. What is that sin this morning? What is that thing you're holding on to? Is it a bottle of beer? Is it a can of beer? Is it pornography? Is it strife and contention and jealousy and wickedness? Is it covetousness? What is it you're holding on to this morning that you're not willing to let go of? That so many times you've come before God and said, God, I'm going to change things. It's going to be different. But you won't rise up. You won't go to the Father. You won't take it to Him.
Amen.
I want us to look at the returning treasures. Because the son made up his mind. He said, I will rise and go to my Father, and I will say to Him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before Thee, right there in verse number 20. He does what He said He was going to do, and He arose and came to His Father. But when He was yet a great way off, His Father saw Him and had compassion and ran and fell on His neck and kissed Him. I'm glad in here this morning for the way that the Father received this prodigal son. Amen. I'm glad this morning that He received him with grace. I'm glad that He received him with love and that He received him with mercy. And the Bible says when he was yet a great way afar off, you say, preacher, you don't know what kind of sin I'm into. You don't know what kind of wickedness I'm found myself into. And I'm not just talking to people I don't know. I'm talking to church people, amen. I'm talking to people who come on Sunday morning, on Sunday evening, on Wednesday night. I'm talking to people, you can sit in a church pew, you can wear a suit and tie, you can look the part, you can walk the walk and talk the talk and still be just as far away from God as that prodigal son was.
Amen.
He came to the Father. The Father saw him when he was yet a great way afar off. God sees you where you are.
Amen.
God loves you. God wants to show you mercy. God wants to show you grace. God wants to do something in your heart and in your mind and in your life. And God wants to use you. Amen. He had compassion and ran. Wasn't anger. It wasn't wrath. It wasn't judgment. Although the Father could have been angry and He would have been just in doing so. He could have been wrathful and He'd have been just in doing so. He was the one that was wrong. The Son was the transgressor in this story. I'm glad for how the prodigal didn't get received. Father said, well, it's about time you came back. Told you so. Bet you got tired of that, didn't you? And He ran to him. The Bible says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh unto you.
Amen.
Every step you take towards God, He's going to take a step towards you. And I mentioned the treasures, the returning treasures.
Amen.
Let's look a little bit.
Amen.
And the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned in heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. And I tell you, Brother Lowell, when I got to studying those things, I believe everything in that book is in their own purpose. It's not there by accident. I began to study a little bit about how that father received that prodigal and how he welcomed that son back home, and he gave him that robe and he gave him that ring and he put those shoes on his feet. And what I find when I look at those things are treasures to those who will come back to God. Treasures, maybe for those in here this morning that are unsaved, that are on their way to hell, that you have no idea whether or not if you drew your final and dying breath this morning, whether you'd burn in hell for eternity, whether you'd spend eternity with the Lord. Maybe you're in here and you're wayward. You're away from God. It's been a while since you prayed. It's been a while since you came to church. It's been a while since you got a hold of God. I don't know your story in here this morning. I'm just trying to say what God wants me to say. But I will say this. There are returning treasures to those who will come to the Father. You know what the Bible, Brother Jeremy, calls the devil? It calls him the accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren. I don't believe the devil's in hell right now. The Bible says in the book of Job that the devil goes to and fro from heaven and earth. He's working on Christians. He's working on churches. He's doing his best to dismantle the work of God on this earth. And he'll go before God on His throne and he'll accuse the brethren. That's what the Bible says. When I slip up, when I mess up, when I do wrong, the devil's there. And he said, you want that guy to pastor a church? You're going to use him? That's the guy you're going to send out knocking on doors. Look at him.
Amen.
He's the accuser of the brethren. He brings our sin before God. He tries to shame us in front of God. But the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, okay?
Amen.
And the Bible says, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I was reading in a book one time about salvation, and the fellow said this. He said, when we stand before God justified, and we're saved by the grace of God, it is not one day that we'll stand before God as if we had never sinned. It's as if we stand before God as if we were never even a sinner. You realize that you took on the righteousness of Christ when you got saved, that your sin record was wiped out. It was wiped clean. Isaiah said in chapter number 1 and verse number 6, he said, come and let us reason, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. It doesn't matter this morning how black and how wicked and how stained with sin your heart is. Jesus Christ can change your life. The cross of Calvary can change your life. If you'll simply believe that He is who He said He was, you'll believe the gospel and the Word of God, that Jesus died, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day. God can change your life, and your sin record will no longer be yours, but rather it's put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says He became sin for us. The Bible says that when we die, we're carried by angels. When people die, they don't become angels. They're carried by angels into the presence of God.
Amen.
And I, just the way I see it, I see that prodigal coming home, Brother Tom.
Amen.
And the devil says, you're going to let him in? You're going to let him in here? And rather than being seen naked and ashamed in the sight of God, He says, bring forth the best robe. We're robed in the righteousness of Christ. Hey, it's like the old songwriter said, the best thing I ever did do was take off the old coat and put on the new.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And I remember I was reading in there. I was sitting in Captain D's when I was reading that. Woo! And I got to thinking about all the things I've done. All the times I drug the name of Jesus Christ through the mud, all the times that I was living wicked and living ungodly, and people looked to me for advice, people would look to me for help, people would look to me for godly counsel, and I didn't have any to give them because I was stunting my growth as a Christian. I was away from God. I was that prodigal son. But still yet, in the sight of God, I am justified. I'm sanctified. I'm set apart. I'm glorified. And when I came back to God, I realized, hallelujah, I've got the best robe to put on. Amen. And a ring on his finger.
Amen.
He said, put a ring on his finger. He said, what's that ring? What's that talking about?
Amen.
Brother Larry, you got your wedding band on this morning?
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Show that to everybody for me. You see that? You see that wedding band? That wedding band means something. That's a signal. That's a testimony. When people see that, they know Brother Larry's been married. Amen? It's showing people something. And he put that ring on his hand, okay, as a testimony of something. And you forgive me if I take a little bit of liberty here, but I can't help but imagine that same prodigal son. And he's old. And he's still there at the father's house, but daddy's done gone on to heaven.
Yeah.
The older brother, it said it was the younger of the two brothers, he's already gone on to heaven. And it's just him now. And he's got those hired servants, and he's older, and he can't do as much as he once did. One of those servants, they'll come and they'll take him by the hand, and they'll walk him. And he's elderly, and that man walks him, and he has his hand, and he looks at that ring, and he says, you know, he says, I've always seen that ring. He said, won't you tell me a little bit about it? This ring on Larry's finger, it means something to him. It reminds him of a time and a place when him and Miss Connie got married. I'm sure he could tell you the day and the time and the place. I'm sure he can recall it very vividly. And that prodigal says, let me tell you about this ring. He said, I once was lost, but now I'm found. He said, I was out in sin. I was away from God. I was outside of the Father's house. But when I came home, I was welcomed with returning treasures. He said, this ring means everything to me. He said, this is the testimony. He said, this is the ring. He said, when I go to bed at night and I have those nightmares about being in that hog pen and wanting to eat those husks and being so afraid and being so alone, and I wake up and I look on my hand and I see that ring, I remember that it's real. I remember that I wasn't going to die like that. I remember that I wasn't forsaken. I remembered that I had this ring of testimony.
Amen.
And you know, you and I on your lap right there, we have a ring of testimony. I remember when I was a little boy, when I got saved, they gave me a little red Bible, and on the inside of the cover, it had the 23rd Psalm. And there were plenty of nights, Brother Tom, that the devil would get up on my shoulder and say, "It's not real. It's not real. You're not really saved. Nothing really happened. You're on your way to hell." And I would get up, and I, as a little boy, I would walk into the kitchen of that trailer, and I'd grab that Bible out of the cabinet. And I didn't want to wake up my dad, and I'd open the refrigerator, and with the refrigerator light, I'd sit inside that door, and I'd open that front cover of that Bible, and I'd see, August the 4th, 2002, I trusted Christ by faith as my Savior. And on the other side of that page, it had the 23rd Psalm, and I would read, and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You and I, on your lap here this morning, you have a ring of testimony from God that when the devil gets up on your back, when the devil says he don't want nothing to do with you, there's no sense in coming back to the Father, there's no sense in getting right, you have a Bible in your lap that says, "In whom after that ye believed, after that ye trusted, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." You're still God. You're still His. God still has a purpose for you. God still has a plan for you. And there are returning treasures to those who will come back to the Father.
Amen.
Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around but me, I feel like God's dealing with some people's hearts in here this morning. Maybe you're in here and you say, "Preacher, I was that prodigal son. I was that one who was away from God, but God gave me a second chance. Hey, He gave me a third chance. He gave me a fourth chance. He's allowed me to come back and to serve Him." Maybe you just want to come and thank God that He changed your life the way He did. Maybe you're in here this morning and you're away from God and you're out in sin and you're backslidden on God and you need to get right. Hey, listen to me, friend. Don't you worry about what the person next to you thinks. Don't you worry about what people are going to think of you. You come to this altar. I'm telling you, you come to the Father this morning, you get things right with God, you rededicate your life to the Lord, and He will change your life. He will use you. He will stir you up. He will use you to do things that you never thought He could use you to do. Would you come this morning? I wonder if there'd be anybody who just want to come to the altar and thank God that you're saved, that you're on your way to heaven, that you know Jesus as your Savior. Amen. As people come, I invite you, heads bowed and eyes closed, if I could just get a raise of hands, if you're in here this morning and you know for certain, you know for sure, you know that if you were to die right now, that heaven would be your home. If that's you, would you raise your hand as a word of testimony? God bless those hands. Now, not every hand in here this morning could go up, and that breaks my heart. I want you to know. I want you to have the peace. I want you to have the joy. I want you to have what I have in my heart. And if you're in here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I don't know. I don't know for sure that if I died, heaven would be my home." Would you raise your hand? Nobody looking but me. Nobody looking but me. I just want to pray for you. I tell you what, if you're in here this morning and you've never been saved, you've never been born again, but you want things to change today, we can take a Bible right up here at this altar. We can show you how you can be saved. We can show you how your life can be changed forever. There's compassion, there's mercy, there's love, there's grace at the Father's house. Come to the cross of Calvary. Jesus said, "All you that labor and are heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest." That was a promise. Would you stand to your feet with your heads bowed and eyes closed? If God's dealing with your heart to come to the altar, I invite you to come. This invitation will go as long for as God says for it to. If God's dealing with your heart, you come to the altar, you get things right. I'm telling you, it'll help you. Maybe there's a prodigal son in your life. Maybe it's a grandson. Maybe it's a mother, a father, or grandpa, or grandma. There's that one person you know, and they just don't want to come back to God. They just don't want to get things right. Why don't you come pray this morning? Why don't you come call their name out to God? Why don't you just come to God one more time and say, "God, touch them. God, go get them. God, fetch them. God, take them out of the muck and the miry clay. Get them out of that place where they're so broken. People are still coming to the altar. I'm telling you, if God's dealing with your heart, don't pass up an opportunity to get right with Him. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you believe the gospel in your heart, and you'll trust Him by faith this morning, He'll save you from hell. He'll change your life. He'll make in you a new creature. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and all things are made new." Brother, He'll change everything in your life.